Amen. I was wondering if we all knew Ephesians 3:2. If we know it, maybe we can recite it. If we don't know it, maybe we could just open up our verse sheets and read it together with an exercise spirit.
Amen.
Ready? Ephesians 3:2.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And how about Ephesians 3:8? And then also 3:9 and 10 without looking.
Amen. To be blessed and the least of all saints, amen, was his grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and his gospel.
Amen.
And to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things.
Amen.
Order
that now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known to the church. Amen. I enjoy these verses so much. I enjoy this week so much. And I really enjoyed also this line of the twos and threes. Because this line brings us into the practical application.
Right. Yeah.
And even when we go back to our campuses, this is how we get into this vision.
Amen.
This is how we continue to see more.
Amen.
This is how we experience the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So today we come to the session 2, morning session 2, message 4. It's on page 47. And the title for this is Preaching the Gospel in Twos and Threes.
Amen.
I really appreciate coming to this title, because when I first heard this message was going to be during this week, preaching of the gospel, that was the first thing that came, that stuck out from the title. And I was, oh Lord, preaching the gospel. This is not my favorite thing to do. They always ask who's like a gospel chicken, and I have to admit that I'm one, but I so much appreciate that we have a spirit of power.
Amen.
And a spirit of love.
Amen.
And a spirit of sober-mindedness.
Amen.
So we don't have to stand with any other spirit of cowardness or anything that we think we might have. We have the spirit mingled with our human spirit.
Amen.
I kind of wish that picture was still up there, with the two S's, the one big S and the little S.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, preaching the gospel brings us into the experience of this mingled spirit.
Amen.
I really just appreciate that. So I thought maybe just to start off the time, I would just start off with a brief testimony of myself. I don't know, have you all been enjoying the testimony times in the twos and threes in the afternoons?
Yeah.
Have you been enjoying the praying together for contacts?
Amen.
Wow, so okay, next we come to the preaching of the gospel. So this is all in context of everything that we've spoken of already.
Right.
So I just want to remind you, don't forget, pursuing Christ with the twos and threes.
Amen.
Starting the practice of the twos and threes.
Right. Yeah.
And also praying the binding and releasing prayers in the twos and threes.
Amen.
It's only through these that we come to the preaching of the gospel in twos and threes. So for me, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ivan, and I just recently graduated from the full-time training in Anaheim. For the new ones here that are not so sure what or have heard about, I'm sure you've heard about it throughout this week, but if you don't know what it is, it's basically a two-year Bible Truth and Church Service program. And so I was there the last 2 years. We just graduated about 2 weeks ago. Amen.
Amen.
And so before going to the training, actually, I had an experience where I was really burdened for one of my friends. He was a classmate of mine, and he was an unbeliever, but within our group of friends, almost all of us were Christians or believers. And he was the only one that wasn't a believer. So we all had a burden for him. He started to have some questions regarding the gospel, about God, about the Bible. And so early on, he would ask these questions to us, and we would try to address them to him, and we would try to take care of him. We got him a copy of the Bible, but I I wish I had this. I wish I had these practical points with me, because even though we were all believers, we all had a burden for him. I can't say we were really built up together. We were just individual believers, even in different denominations, and trying to care for this one that was having questions concerning God. And so throughout my time with him, there wasn't, I had a burden for him, but to bring him to salvation, that never really happened during my time in school with him. But when I came to the training, I had a different experience. And this kind of parallels my experience from before. And in the training, I have a younger brother. And during his college years, he kind of drifted off from the church life. We would say he backslid a little bit. And during the training, I was far away. He's back home in New Jersey, and I'm in California. So there wasn't so much I can physically do for him. So what I ended up doing was just basically just praying for him. In the training, we were built up with all these different groups. I had my house with me, the brothers that I lived together with. I had my service partners. I had my gospel partner. I had my team. And basically, everyone I had with me, I took the opportunity to share my burden for him and to pray for him. And even though my brother wasn't in close physical contact with me, the Lord actually had a way to bring him back into the church life.
Amen.
And actually, for me, it was amazing because it really came out of nowhere. One day he called me and he said, "Ivan, where can I start reading the Bible? And do you recommend any ministry books that I can start reading?" So currently now, we're still working on shepherding him with the saints, and he's slowly entering back into the church life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So praise the Lord for preaching the gospel in twos and threes.
Amen.
Okay. How about we read Roman numeral 1 together?
Every member of the body has a function, duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so there are just some verses here that I like to point out. That every member of the body, that includes all of us, big or small, whatever we think we are, we have the duty, the function, the responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Amen.
And if you all have your Bibles, can you turn to a couple of verses? First one in Luke 10:1. How about we do this? We can have the sisters start with this verse, and then brothers actually turn to John 15:16. And when the sisters are ready, they can read it first, and then after that, the brothers can read John 15:16. Okay, ready? Luke 10:1. Amen. Two by two. Okay, brothers, John 15:16.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Amen. So even in the Bible, we see that when the Lord sends us out to spread the word, to care for others, it's in the principle of two by two.
Right.
And then he also actually tells us that we need to go forth.
Amen.
Go forth means we need to depart,
yeah,
to leave and to go to another place.
Yeah.
Amen. Now can we also look at the pattern that Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17? Maybe we can read this all together. I'll give you a second to turn to it.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17. So this is the Apostle Paul, who was a laboring priest of the gospel of God. This was his view of the gospel.
"For if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but if not of my own will, with the stewardship."
Amen. This was a necessity for the Apostle Paul. Whether or not it was of his will or of his own will, he had the burden to go to be a steward. Amen. And actually, I just like to point out that steward is the same word for this economy.
Right.
And so on the one hand, God has an economy.
Amen.
For us, it is a stewardship.
Right.
So for us, our job, we were entrusted with a stewardship. We enjoy all the riches of Christ. But these riches are not just for us. They are for dispensing.
Amen.
Hallelujah for dispensing.
Amen.
We receive dispensing and we also dispense to others.
Amen.
This is the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Actually, we have this concept of what preaching of the gospel is. And I hope that the points on this outline would really break our concept. First of all, preaching of the gospel is just an overflow of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah for life.
Amen.
Amen. When we enjoy life to such a full extent, life just overflows as fruit. And that is what John 15 is talking about when he says, "Go forth and bear fruit."
Amen.
It is just the overflow of the enjoyment of life.
Amen.
So actually, if we later on in the outline, we'll see that preaching of the gospel is not simply some sort of work. It is actually our living.
Amen.
It is related to the life that we are enjoying and we are experiencing. And actually, I'd just like to also encourage you with one point. This is in Matthew 28. This is the last book in the last chapter in the book of Matthew.
That's right.
And in the last two verses, the Lord gives us a charge to go preach the gospel.
Amen.
If you'd like to turn to it, you can turn to it, but I'll read it to you.
Yeah.
So in verse 19, it says, chapter 28, verse 19, "Go therefore,
Amen.
Disciple all the nations,
Amen.
Baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." But what I most appreciate about this is that it is followed with a promise. It is not just simply a charge. It follows with the promise saying, it continues, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then here's the promise. "And behold,
Amen.
I am with you all the days
Amen.
Until the consummation of the age."
Amen.
This is the Lord's promise to us when we go out to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Actually, when we go out to preach the gospel, the first reward we get is not the fruit or the increase in numbers. The primary thing is that we realize earlier that the Spirit is joined to our spirit.
Amen.
This realization is the reward of our preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And this realization just shows how close the Lord is to us.
Amen.
He is so near to us. He is with us all the days.
Amen.
This is so marvelous. I hope this encourages you to go preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay, maybe we can come to read point two now, Roman numeral two.
We must learn in Jews or Greeks how to preach the gospel and to help people to be saved.
Amen. So, just like to encourage you all to consider the full-time training. Really, for me, in the full-time training, really been learning to be simplified in this area of service, of preaching the gospel. Actually, in the beginning, I had the thought of doing more of like a work, of bearing remaining fruit, of getting people baptized, or even bringing people into our Christian club on campus. But actually, towards the end, just had the realization that all this starts with our care in our group of twos and threes.
Yeah.
So in the training, we're paired up with a gospel partner. So we don't have a choice. We're given someone to be paired up with. But in my last year in the training, I just had a realization. My partner was uncomfortable with the gospel. I was uncomfortable with the gospel. So what we took care of first was just each other. Amen. And eventually, this just opened the way to care for other people. So actually, the burden here today is actually our groups of twos and threes. If we don't have care together in our group of twos and threes, how can we extend care to others?
Yeah.
Actually, the gospel, the care for others, is just an extension of our care that we have already built up with each other.
Yeah.
If we are never built up with one another, we can't bring others into the building. If we are not open to the care that is within our group of two and threes, then it is hard for us to bring someone also to open up to our care. And so I just really appreciate that. It all starts in this core, vital group of the twos and threes.
Amen.
Okay, with that, let's see point A.
We must have a real love and concern for sinners. All
always bearing the burden for people's souls with a praying spirit. We gain people by showing an intimate concern for them.
Amen. And I think we have some testimonies here. Maybe we can have a couple brothers come up and share their experiences. Amen.
Amen.
Just remember to keep it short. You can all come up. I'll come up. Grab that.
Amen.
So I'm just going to share a little bit about my experience of being cared for. Just a little background. I grew up as a church kid, but getting into college, I wasn't really involved in the church life. And what really helped me get into serving on campus and being involved with the club and really diving into the church life, serving young people, serving, or just being in the church life, was the care of the saints.
Amen.
Having this genuine care for me. So just one experience. In the Northeast, there was Hurricane Sandy when I was in college. And basically what happened was, like, our school, like, we didn't have power. So I ended up staying at Brother Shepherd's house for, like, 3 or 4 days. And actually, being in the homes, the saints were always having me over. And this experience of spending so much time with Shepherd at his house, it really helped me get into the church life.
Wonderful.
Looking back, like, I could really see that the saints really, really cared about me. And that they showed such genuine care. And whenever I was in a rut, they noticed. And I noticed that they noticed. And this is the type of care that we need to have for people. Amen.
I just want to testify the efficacy of praying in twos and threes really starts with caring for one another. When I first entered college, the university that I was going to didn't really have much of a campus work initiated. There wasn't like a weekly English-speaking meeting that college students would go to. But I entered with two other sisters. And initially what happened was that we all had a burden for the gospel. And we didn't really know what to do, but all we did was get together and pray. So every Thursday we would pray for each other, and we would pray for our situations, and then we also pray for the gospel. And through this prayer time, the Lord really had a way to move on campus. At the end of the first year, we had 9 other regular members, and the meetings grew from the initial 3 of us even to a maximum at one point of 35 people. And even one brother began off the campus was baptized. And my testimony is that I really don't like speaking to people, and I don't like really speaking to people about the gospel especially. But it's through the support of those two sisters and the prayer that we had that really allowed the Lord to move in me.
Amen. I'd like to testify regarding the matter of having a genuine care for those that you're taking care of, especially with the twos and threes that you're built up with. At the end of April, I had the privilege and the opportunity to go to Berlin, Germany on gospel trip number 4 in order to preach the gospel to some of the refugees. And one of the experiences that I had with my gospel partner while we were taking care of some of the refugees was just caring for their need. In Berlin, a lot of these refugees now are looking to find their own place, to find an apartment where they can move out of these camps and eventually start living on their own. And one of the contacts that we took care of was in this process. And so one day, we just spent probably 8 hours just with him, finding an apartment for him. Wow. And I can really testify that it's through this genuine care that you develop by spending time with their contacts, as well as praying with your twos and threes, that you're really able to shepherd and gain these ones.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. So maybe we can just quickly go through a couple more points here. Okay, let's read point B.
The gospel should be our living and not just a word.
Amen.
We should live for the gospel, not being content to merely have good meetings and little growth in the church.
Amen. This again was Paul's experience. For him, to live was Christ. It wasn't simply to live Christ, but to live was Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And now let's read point C.
Preaching the gospel is truly a matter of faith. We must learn to walk and to work by faith,
not by sight, appearance, feeling, or any kind of circumstances.
Amen. So not by the outward appearance, but by faith.
Amen.
Again, preaching the gospel strengthens our organic union with the Lord.
Amen.
This is our faith. Okay, point D. Amen. So we also have to learn to speak something of Christ. And this doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about Christ, but that we're ministering Christ to others. Because even in talking about Christ, we can be ministering the letter, which only results in death. But if we speak Christ to others, that ministers life to them.
Amen.
And this heads us up.
Amen.
Amen. I think Alan will keep going with point E.
Before we go on, can we read Roman numeral 1 together?
Yeah. Every member of the body has a function, duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Amen. You better read it again.
Every member of the body has a function, duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Maybe before we go on, just to mention two things. I have a concern that when we came to this message, maybe some of us dismissed this matter of preaching the gospel. We may have thought, you know, preaching the gospel, that's not for me. And we heard about this, right? Our whole life. We need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. But then we come to this message, we got the information, but then, oh no, preaching the gospel isn't for me. But Roman numeral 1 says, every member of the body has the function, the duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you realize this? Oh Lord, we all have a responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so now you guys have this burden, right? I need to bring someone to the Lord.
Yes.
And like Ivan, like many of us, we may be afraid, very intimidated concerning the gospel, right? It's very overwhelming, the gospel. How do we preach the gospel to people? Okay, the second thing I'd like to mention is the title. This title is so sweet. It's Preaching the Gospel in the Twos and Threes.
Yeah.
And so this isn't something that we bear by ourselves.
That's right.
But praise the Lord, we have companions.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we have companions.
Amen.
And our companions, with our companions, we're learning to preach the gospel together. There's some sisters, maybe I can, they don't know I'm going to call them out, but there's some sisters from Connecticut. I think her name is Alyssa, right? She got tested up here. Maybe you and your companions can stand up.
Stand up.
Just, you know, there's some... I'm very encouraged, you know, we have the college retreat together, and every college retreat, we see these sisters, and they're companions, right? You just know, these sisters, they're companions. And you know, they're pursuing the Lord together.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, sisters. But I'd like to point out that this matter of companions is not just for our going on, right?
That's right.
It's not just, that's one aspect. Companions are definitely for our going on in the church, but our twos and threes are for the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
It's so that we can bring others into what we're enjoying, right?
Right.
Don't you enjoy God's economy?
Yeah.
Don't you want your friends to know what God's economy is?
Right.
So that in the twos and threes. So I hope, you know, sisters, I don't know, I'm sure you have a lot of people on your heart, but What about praying and contacting others in your twos and threes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's read E.
Three.
Yeah, E. Yeah. Ready, go.
We should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way. Rather, we should do everything corporately in the body through fellowship and coordination, including in our twos and threes.
Yeah. Amen. We should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way.
Amen.
Rather, we should do everything
Amen.
Corporately in the body.
Yeah.
I'd like to read some verses. It would be good if you can all follow along. It's Philippians Philippians chapter 1, 3 through 5, okay? I'm going to read these verses in a particular way. I'm going to leave out a word, okay? I'm going to leave out a word. You can follow to figure out what word I'm going to leave out. Okay, this is Paul speaking. He says, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in my every petition on behalf of you all, making my petition with joy for your furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. Do you guys notice what word I left out?
Fellowship.
Okay, so Paul, he wasn't thanking God. He wasn't just full of, when he was petitioning on behalf of the Philippian believers, he wasn't, what made him happy wasn't just the furtherance of the gospel. But the verse says, you know, I thank my God, I'm full of joy, for your fellowship.
Amen.
Unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, do we have fellowship regarding the preaching of the gospels? And so we need to realize, if you forget everything in this message, realize this. In order to preach the gospel in a prevailing way, we need the twos and threes.
Yeah.
We have to do it corporately.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. So remember that. For your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, how about we read one? With this realization, we will work not just by ourselves,
but we will ask some others to work together with us in a way of coordination. In this way, the gospel will be powerful and prevailing.
Amen. You guys remember that point about wildfire two messages ago? We can bring wildfire to the campuses. But we need the matter of the twos and threes, right? And so, I guess the burden of this message is, we want to know, we hope, brothers and sisters, that number one, you would all have companions.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you all have companions? You don't have to respond, but we all need companions, right? And if you don't have any, then you need to ask some others at this point. This next year, how long are we going to go on in our Christian life? Yeah. Hearing about companions. Mm-hmm. But we never ask anyone to be our companion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
We need to ask some others to be our companions. Not just for our going on, but also so we can contact others. Okay, number two. Yet do not have fellowship and do not love one another, our fruit will be very limited. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. So in this twos and threes, I'd like to also address, we may have a concept about what it means to preach the gospel corporately. Maybe we can ask Hiram. Hiram, maybe you can just stand up. You don't have to do anything. Just stand up. Oh, dear brother Hiram.
Hallelujah.
So Hiram and I, you know, we serve together at BU. So does preaching the gospel corporately, does that mean when I preach the gospel, I just need to go find Hiram? And we just need to, you know, because I don't want to go by myself. So to do something corporately, I need to find another brother. And Hiram, we serve together. So, you know, Hiram, come with me. We're going to go preach the gospel together. Is that what this is talking about? Okay, thanks, Hiram. No, that's not. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's like one layer.
Yeah.
That's definitely better than preaching the gospel by yourself,
right?
You just get someone else, you know, two for testimony, you know, let's go preach the gospel.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a fellowship.
Yeah.
Being with two or three that you're built up with.
Right.
And together, you know, you're fellowshipping concerning certain ones.
Mm.
That are on your heart,
yeah.
That are maybe your classmates.
Right.
And through that fellowship,
amen.
Being built up with one another, there's an impact.
Yeah.
There's an impact when you go out and talk to people. And so that's layer number two. There's another layer, okay? What do you think the third layer is? We need to love one another.
Yeah.
You know, we can, I speak this more concerning brothers, maybe, because I'm a brother. But a lot of times, we, you know, brothers are like, oh, yeah, we'll have fellowship, you know. Like, oh, yeah, we need to preach the gospel. You know, we have a little time together. Me, Nathan.
Preston, sorry.
Me, Nathan, Preston's like, oh, yeah, I know, I need to have fellowship. So let's fellowship, you know. So we fellowship, you know, oh, that's pretty good, it's pretty good. Okay, now let's go out. Yeah, let's go do it. But what about the love for one another? Oh, Lord Jesus. We shouldn't just have fellowship. But we need to have love for our companions, right? We need to learn to love one another. And I want to read these verses in John. How about, maybe we can have just the brothers read it. John 13, 34, and 35. Do you guys have it?
Yeah.
Okay, John 13, 34, and 35. Ready, go. I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Okay. Hallelujah. I want to read it again. I'm going to emphasize something, okay? A new commandment I give to you.
Amen.
That you love one another.
Amen.
Even as I have loved you.
Amen.
That you also love one another.
Amen.
By this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By this.
Amen.
Shall all men know.
Amen.
That you are my disciples.
Amen.
In the reading, it mentions that this love that people see is the strongest testimony. It's the strongest testimony.
Amen.
And so in our twos and threes, we're not learning just to have fellowship with one another, but we're learning to love one another.
Yeah.
And then by this is the strongest testimony, right?
Amen.
We often think that our eloquence, how we speak on the gospel, that's the strongest testimony. Like, wow, that's very impressive, you know. You can recount the whole scriptures, you know. You can lead me from salvation to transformation, you know. You can tell me about it. That's not the strongest testimony. Our brother mentions that the strongest testimony to the unbelievers is loving one another.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue. Roman numeral 3. After taking the steps to become blended in twos and threes, mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we should go and contact
people for the increase of Christ's body.
Amen. We should go on to contact people. I hope in your twos and threes you don't just care about one another until the Lord comes back. Oh, Lord Jesus. We should go and contact people.
Amen.
For the increase of Christ's body.
Amen.
And I'd just like to shed some light. You know, there are many ways you can contact people. What are some ways? Brother, what are some ways? Contact people.
Mm.
What's your first thought?
Face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Meal time.
Hallelujah, that's a good one. Meal time.
Facebook.
Amen. Yeah, no, that's good. What? Huh?
In class.
In class. Okay. Amen.
Text.
Texting. Yeah. So you know, we have this concept that in order to contact people, I need to go out. We set aside some time in our schedule in the afternoon, and we go out on the preaching of the gospel. That's my contacting of people. That's good, and that's absolutely necessary. I'm not trying to downplay that, but there are other ways to contact people. One way maybe you're having fellowship in your twos and threes, and there's some feeling, I need to just eat lunch. I want to eat lunch with my friend, and I'm going to invite my companion. That's all I'm going to do. That's contacting people, right? Or maybe you have some feeling, you're fellowshipping with your companions, and I just have some feeling to Facebook message them. I want to Facebook message them something, see how they're doing. You know, just maybe be a classmate, just ask them. Or maybe you contact people by studying together.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be preaching the gospel, you know, to marching around, you know, looking for people. There are many ways to contact people.
Amen.
Okay, A. We should then pick up the burden and take action with our companions to contact others, sinners or Christians. B.
We should
fellowship with our companions through desperate prayers for the Lord's blessing. Amen. I have some feeling about this matter of prayer. In our twos and threes time, I hope we wouldn't learn to, or we wouldn't, you know, scheme or plan. You know, sometimes we do that, you know, like, okay, so you have a feeling to visit someone, right? So you tell your companion, you know, we prayed about it, maybe just a little bit, and then we start discussing how we're going to preach the gospel to them. So it's like, okay, I'm going to invite Nathan to dinner and then, or to lunch, and we're going to eat together. But since I don't have the ground with my friend, I'm going to have Nathan, at some point, you know, when I give you the signal, you're going to mention something about the Lord. And then that's going to, like, spark some fellowship. And then we'll bring out this point, you know, and then we'll bring out the matter. You know, I think his condition is that he needs living water. So then I'm going to go to John 7, and I'm going to talk about that. And then you go here and talk about John 4:14, the woman at the well. I hope, oh Lord Jesus, I hope your twos and threes times are not like that, right? I hope your twos and threes times full of prayer.
Amen.
Full of desperate prayer.
Yeah.
Do you not think that the God of the universe will take care of all of that? He'll do it. And so we just need to learn to just pray. And, you know, just a little testimony. And here's a practical help. This is very practical. When you're praying together, set a time limit to pray. Were you ever in a situation where it's like, okay, let's pray. And then so then you pray. And then your companion prays. And then you pray. And then your companion prays. And then you're like, you're thinking, should we go a third round? Right? Should we go a third round? And then I pray. And then he prays. It's like, are we going to go another one? Fourth? And I pray. And then he prays. Okay, so you get the point, right?
Yeah.
And then so in the end, you just pray for like maybe like 2 minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes. And you become distracted, you know, because you're always thinking, Am I gonna go another round? You know, are we gonna do this thing again? And so, a practical help: just set aside some time.
Yeah.
And this can be based on capacity.
Yeah.
If you have 5 minutes,
yeah,
and you only can pray for 5 minutes,
amen,
set a timer, 5 minutes,
yeah,
and just pray.
Yeah.
Learn to just open to the Lord concerning this person, concerning your friend, and just follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Follow one another in prayer. You know, just consider it. You know, I had a companion, or my companion in college. We set a time. We set an hour every week to pray. And so me and this brother, we just spend the first 30 minutes just opening to one another.
Amen.
And we just pray for one another. Pray for one another. And then the last 30 minutes, we just pray. Isn't it good to pray?
Amen.
Amen. And the last point, last practical help. This is something else that's on my heart. I'm worried that we don't know how to pray. Our prayer muscle is very weak.
Yeah.
This is my concern.
Yeah.
Our prayer muscle, our capacity to pray is not that much. And so I was like you also in college. I didn't know how to pray. That's the honest truth. And so, but there's this family, okay? There's a family that they were a burden for me. They were a burden for me. And so every Tuesday where there was a prayer meeting, they would invite me over for dinner. And they would cook. Like, the sister was really good at cook. Really good cook. I remember this lamb chop that she made. It was so good. Okay, so lamb chop. So this sister, she would invite me, her family would invite me over to pray, and then I'd eat, and then I, like, you know, the first time I was like, okay, thank you, sister, like, on the way out, and then she's like, oh, you're not going to stay at the prayer meeting? It's at our house, you know? So I was like, oh! Okay, so anyways, I ended up staying for the prayer meeting. And I could tell you the highlight of my college years was a prayer meeting of the church. Just being in the prayer meeting, you listen and you hear. And you hear the other saints pray. And you realize, wow, I'm so short. You know, whenever I pray, I just pray about, thank you, Lord, for the food. Bless the food. Thank you, our supply. You know, that was me. And I never went to a prayer meeting before college. But that year, or I can't remember what year, but that was the first prayer meeting. And then I kept going. And that's where I really learned how to develop my prayer muscle. Just by listening to the other saints and learning to follow how they pray.
Yeah.
Just to imitate, you know, because I didn't know how to pray. I just imitate what they prayed, you know. Okay, see, we should set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit. Set a definite goal with a strong determination to gain at least one remaining fruit yearly. Make a goal. Don't just gather together and, you know, if you don't make a goal, nothing will happen because you won't work towards that goal. And so make a goal. It can be to bring someone to the home meeting. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just want to bring one person to the home meeting once.
Yes.
That's a goal, right?
Yeah.
And so with your companions, you work on that.
That's right.
I want to bring this one person to the home meeting once. Okay, there can be many other goals, but for the sake of time, I'll just keep moving on. D, we should review our acquaintances and make a list of them, and then pray over this list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first to take care of. E, we should come together with our companions
once a week to fellowship about,
pray for, and study every case of those who are
burdened.
Amen. So I don't know. What to do here. I was going to have asked some brothers to come up, but I think for the sake of time, we won't. Okay. Does anyone know what these look like this time of twos and threes? I don't know. I'm just asking, just opening it. In your practice of the twos and threes and your care for people, what do you do? Like, practically, what do you do? Okay. Is it? Okay. Maybe I'll just... I guess... Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had an experience this term in the training with my five on my team. The first probably 8 weeks, nothing happening. But we got together every week. We prayed in a very strong way.
Amen.
For one family in this neighborhood. And we had a strong burden to pray for one family, but nothing was happening. But we eventually got together. We wrote down all the people we knew in the neighborhood. We wrote down how we had contacted them. And we fellowshipped about what went well and what didn't go well. Mm. And then we continued to pray over each name.
Amen.
This went on for 8 weeks. And then finally, we got into one home. And then we met a new one in the playground, and we met her with her daughter, and we realized that only with strong prayer, these 8 weeks, the Lord was gaining us to pray, and He wasn't giving us anything because He needed us to be desperate, to pray in a specific way,
amen,
over specific people, and then He'll do the work,
amen,
we're just being sent out.
Amen. Amen. That's very good.
Amen.
So in your times of twos and threes...
Yeah.
It's good, like our brother mentioned yesterday, make a list, right?
Yeah.
A sister, they made a list of everyone in the neighborhood. And so make a list. Maybe there's three brothers. And so you each come up with three names. And the first, and then you guys focus on which three names can we work on right now, you know? That we can actually see some, like maybe this classmate. You're taking a class together with this person. And so he's on the top of the list, right? But then, so every week you revisit the list. And maybe in your time you just pray, Lord, I want to invite them to a study time.
Yeah.
I want to invite my classmate to a study time. And so with your companions, you pray for this brother, this person. I want to invite him to the study time. And then he doesn't come to the study time. What do? You pray again. You just keep praying, you know. Every week, week by week, you reevaluate the situation.
Amen.
Okay, and let's say this person, this classmate, who thought was going to be very, would be the main person you'd be laboring on, maybe he is not so open anymore. So it's okay, just reshuffle the list, right? But don't forget about him. He's still on the list, right? Still pray for him every week. But just consider who you would focus on. Okay, last one, F. We should not expect to have a quick result, but continue to labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We should not expect to have a quick result, but continue to labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession. Maybe I'll just end with this verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast,
amen,
immovable,
amen,
always abounding in the work of the Lord,
amen,
knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Be steadfast.
Amen.
Immovable.
Amen.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Knowing that your labor is not in vain.
Amen.
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 I think that's good. Maybe we can have some sharing. Is that okay?
Yeah.
For 10 minutes. Those that come up, you can share about your experience or anything else.